Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Radio Network. Stay tuned for an encouraging word from Pastor, Teacher Dr. James Sutton. Let's see what Pastor Sutton has to say to us today.
Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and I want to give you a word of wisdom and encouragement today. God's love is demonstrated in His warnings and His promises. They're both holy and righteous, and you need to adhere to the warnings and trust in His promises. And you need to trust in His warnings and adhere to His promises. So what am I saying? It's all in one. If you really understand the love of God, you will understand the nature of God is love. But in that love, there are warnings and there are promises. And they're really the same. This is Pastor Jay. Think about it. Like, subscribe, and share. And I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Heavenly Father, we come right now, God. We just thank You and we give You all the glory and all the praise, God. God, we ask You that You open up our minds as we enter into this study, God, and that we are enriched and grow from this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So in Jeremiah, we have been talking about, we were in chapter 10, and we have been talking about idols. So I wanted to focus on, we talk about idols all the time, and specifically about how Israel and Judah always fail in the area of worshiping idols, right? And so this is a consistent thing in the Bible, and we talk about it, and we make abstract concepts about it. However, it is not a abstract concept. It is a matter of the heart that we must dig deeper in, okay? So we're going to dig deeper. And an idol, according to Eastward's Dictionary, is an image or anything used as an object of worship in a place of the true God. So, of course, we talked about all type of different forms, whether it's engraven images, whether it's cars, whether it's people, anything that replaces your worship and obedience to God, that's an idol. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to first look at Isaiah 44:9-20. And I'm going to ask for my melodic voice of the Bible to read for me, Mr. Sterling.
Okay, Isaiah 44.
Uh-huh.
Which verse?
9-20.
Isaiah 44:9. All who fashion idols are nothing, and the things they delight in do not profit. The witnesses neither see nor know, that they may be put to shame. Who fashions a god or casts an idol that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his companions shall be put to shame, and the craftsmen are only human. Let them all assemble. Let them stand forth. They shall be terrified. They shall be put to shame together. The ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches a line. He makes it out with a pencil. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. He shapes it into the figure of a man, with the beauty of a man, to dwell in a house. He cuts down the cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak and lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes a part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and breaks bread. Also, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it burns in the fire. Over the half, he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. Also, he warms himself and says, "Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire." And the rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They know not, nor do they discern, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is there knowledge or discernment to say, "Half of it I burned in the fire. I also baked bread on its coals. I roasted meat and have eaten. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray, and he cannot deliver himself or say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand?"
Amen. So Isaiah gives us a good description of what an idol is. And so some of the characteristics that we talked about in Bible study was it is immobile, right? Mm-hmm. It you have to do all the work. Mm-hmm. You have to carry the load. Right. It cannot speak. Right. It has no life. Mm-hmm. It has no power. It can't help you. They can it cannot change what it is, and it cannot change who you are.
Come on.
So all of you are doing all the work, and that is not a God. That's an idol. You're doing everything. So therefore, you're doing the work. And it's not the God, right? Okay, so let's talk about this. Because we're going to start with the law. We know what an idol is. We know what it isn't. We know what it is. We want to understand why this isn't so important. So we're going to go to Leviticus 19 and 4.
Do not turn to idols or make for yourself any gods of cast metal. I am the Lord your God.
So he gave a commandment that says do not go to idols. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a rule. And we all are good about following rules, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, right. Leviticus 26 and 1.
You shall not make idols for yourselves or erect an image or pillar. And you shall not set up a figured stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord, your God.
And so he repeating it. And the title, and we talked about this in class, remember, Sister Alicia, we said it's a title. So this is the blessing of the obedience. Do not do this. And but if you do, I'm asking you not to do this, right? And then we go down into the chapter. And Sister Alicia, can you read that 30?
This is 26 and
30. That's the punishment, remember?
And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall harbor you.
So therefore, there is a blessing if you obey, but there's also a consequence. There's also a consequence to your actions. So if we went further up in that, it's another title. It says the punishment for disobedience. So what Brother Sterling read was the blessing. If you follow this, we're good. What Sister Alicia read was the consequence. So they had a law, don't do this. Then they got reiterated in Leviticus again, and they still didn't pay attention, right? Mm-hmm. And so then God renews his covenant with Moses in Deuteronomy. So let's go to Deuteronomy 29 and 17. And Steve, I want you to pick that up.
What chapter and verse?
29, 17 through 21.
Starting at 17. And you saw their abominations and their idols,
which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you.
So we're talking about Egypt, okay? So he's saying you've seen what they had. Keep on.
Man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. As though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven.
And listen, let's go back into that. It says, one who hears the words of this sworn covenant blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. Does that make sense? This is will lead them to sweeping away the moist, dry alike. So basically, you gonna say I'm gonna hear this covenant, I'm gonna honor this covenant, but my heart ain't right. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about in Jeremiah, and we're gonna dig deeper into that about the uncircumcised heart. Mm-hmm. That we talked about how they were circumcised on the eighth day and all this other stuff, but their heart was not clean, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So he renews that covenant. So this is the third time we're talking about this, right? This must be a point important. So, okay, so let's get even closer. We're in Jeremiah, but I want to talk about some other things. In our studies, we've read between Joshua and Esther and Daniel and Ezekiel, right? Mm-hmm. So we've covered most with the exceptions of, with the exception of the of Genesis and Leviticus and Numbers. We started in Joshua with our track in Bible study, and so we're in Jeremiah, right? So now let's see how we got here. I'm going to take you how we got to Jeremiah. We're going to go to 1 Kings, which we have covered, correct? Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to 1 Kings 15. And we're going to go to 15:9-15. And here we have an exile reigning in Judah, right? We know that Jeremiah is in Judah, correct? Mm-hmm. Anybody don't know that Israel has already been disbanded, the nation, not the whole nation, but Israel proper has been disbanded. So we're talking about Judah, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to talk about what? Judah kings, correct?
Right.
All right, Steve, let's do 9-15.
In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. And he banished the perverted persons from the land.
Okay, so let's stop there. He did what was what in the Lord?
Right.
Right. Go ahead. And he banished what?
Perverted persons.
Perverted persons, mine says male prostitutes, out of the land, right? Mm-hmm. And go, keep on.
And removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Also, he removed Maacah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Uzzah's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days.
They made a point, we talked about this before, that the high places needed to be disbanded. And every time they didn't do something, it left a remnant of a negative thing up there. Right? Keep on.
He also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dictated and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils.
So he basically cleaned house, except for the high places, right? Okay. He removed people who didn't need to be there. He is following what God is saying, because in order to say he removing something, that means something else had to be what? Placed there that shouldn't have, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so if something, so he's removing because he knows the rule in Leviticus that we're not supposed to have what?
Idols.
Correct. All right, so now we're going to go to 1 Kings 16. So it shouldn't be that too much away from it, right? Because that's the chapter right after it, right? 16, 1 through 13. Go ahead, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the ways of Jeroboam, and have made my people Israel sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. Surely I will take away the prosperity of Baasha, and the prosperity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city. And the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the fields."
So that means that so far we see that Asher was there. So that means somebody else has entered in and it has done worse than you. And we know if they say that you acted like Jeroboam, that means that you was a mess, right? Mm-hmm. That you were evil in the heart of God, right? Because you wanted to do what you wanted to do, right? So now we see that they are so bad that dogs going to eat their flesh and the birds too, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did, and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Baasha rested with his fathers, and was buried in Tirzah. Then Elah, his son, reigned in his place. And also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha and his house, because of all the evil that he had done, or he did in the sight of the Lord, and provoking him to anger with the works of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed them.
Okay, we can skip 8 through 13. And let's go to 2 Kings 14. Okay, 2 Kings 14, and let's start at verse 1.
In the second year of Joash, the son of Jehoaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Joadan of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet, not like his father David, he did everything as his father Joash had done. However, the high places were not taken away.
Okay, so these high places still ain't taken away, right? Okay, see what they doing, Steve.
And the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places.
And so what did they say? 99 and a half won't do, right? Go ahead.
Now, it happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. But the children of the murderers did not exec- he did not execute, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own sin. He killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt, and took Selah by war, and called its name Jokthiel to this day.
Okay, and so now we see we have another king who he has good intentions, but he still did not complete the mission, right? Because you're supposed to take all the high places down, right? Okay, so now we're going to skip down to 2 Kings 21. Mind you, we're not saying any new material. This is all stuff we have covered before, but I want to show you the connection of how we get to Jeremiah and the frustration of Jeremiah and on behalf of God. So 2 Kings 21 verse 1. Sterling, can you start that for me, please?
Yes. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord.
Okay, so was he a good king or a bad king? Because bad king because he had evil was in the sight of God, right? So what is he doing? Let's see what we're doing.
According to the despicable practices of the nation whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. And he erected altars of Baal and made Asherah and Ahab, king of Israel, had done, and worshiped all the hosts of the heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, In Jerusalem will I put my name.
So now, let's see what he's doing. He is Hezekiah and took all this stuff down. He and rebuilt all the high places. Well, for real, the high places was never really all the way down, right? And he erected altars. Now he worshiping Baal, right? Now he even bringing stuff into the church, into the temple, right?
Right.
Right. So we just doing whatever we want to do. What we doing, judges, right?
Right.
We doing whatever we want to do. We say, bump what my fathers did before. We're going to serve who we want to serve, right?
Yeah.
And go ahead. Verse 5.
And he built altars for all the host of heaven and the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he burned his son as an offering and used fortune telling and omens and dealt with mediums and with necromancers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And he carved image of Asherah that he had made. He is set in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not cause the feet of Israel to wander any more out of the land that I have gave their fathers, if only they will be careful to do according to all that I have commanded them.
Let's not speed past that. He said, I will not cause the feet of Israel to wander any more out of the land that I gave their fathers. But there is whenever you see the word what, if, that means that something, you have to do something in order for my word to go for, right? And it says only they will be careful to do what, Sterling?
According to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them.
Okay, so we just looked at the law and the law said no what?
Idols.
No graven images, and don't worship nobody other than me, right?
That's right.
So you just violated the clause, the contract that we had with each other, right? Mm-hmm. So all of that just out the window,
right? Yeah, right.
Okay, go ahead.
But they did not listen, and Manasseh led them astray to do more evil than the nations had done, whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. And the Lord said by his servants, the prophets, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these abominations and has done things more evil than all the Amorites did who were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon Jerusalem and Judah such disaster that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle.
So he says, because of Manasseh's idol, he did all of this. This is why this wrath is coming. So don't act like you didn't know that this was happening. Because he did all of this. They've been doing this for a minute, but he decided he's going to bring everything except the kitchen sink inside the temple. Go ahead.
And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plumb line of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my heritage and give them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. Because they have done what is evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger. Since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides the sin that he made Judah to sin, so that they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he had did, and the sin that he committed, are they now written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. And Manasseh slept with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his house, and in the garden of Uzzah, and Ammon, his son, reigned in his place.
So now his son has got to deal. Of course, we know, we read his son was worshiping father. I mean, he was doing whatever. But let's go to 2 Kings 22, verse 1-3, and then we'll pick up again in chapter 23. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jediah, and the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David and his father, and he did not turn aside the right or the left. Why am I talking about him now? Anybody?
Because he did what was different than everybody else before.
Well, no, I'm talking about him now, because if you study the book of Jeremiah with us, you know that Jeremiah's his prophetic ministry started during Josiah's reign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the reason why. So we are now where Jeremiah is going to come onto the scene, and we see that we know that Josiah is the one who found Deuteronomy, right? He found, not him, but during that time they found the law, and he started reestablishing the temple and repairing things and doing things. So this is the time where he's like, oh, they did all these bad things, and I'm starting to clean house. And this is when Jeremiah ministry starts, okay? And thank you for interacting with me, Frida. Okay. Let's go to 2 Kings 23. We're going to start at verse 4. Let me start, you can pick that up.
Okay. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the threshold, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven.
So he cleaning house. Mm-hmm. He knows all this stuff is in these temples and is not supposed to be there. Go ahead.
He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. And he disposed the priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to make offerings in the high places at the cities of Judah and around Jerusalem. Those also who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon and the constellations and all the hosts of the heavens. And he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to Brook Kidron and burned it at the Brook Kidron and beat it to dust and cast the dust of it upon the graves of the common people. And he broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes who were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the Asherah. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had made offerings from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places of the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the gate of the city.
Oh, he took some high places down. Let's see if it works. Go ahead.
However, priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no one might burn his son or his daughter as an offering to Molech. And he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chambermaid, which was in the precincts. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars on the roof of the upper chamber of the Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars at Manasseh had made, in the two courts of the house of the Lord, he pulled down and broke in pieces and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, to the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for the Ashtoreth and the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And he broke into pieces the pillars, and cut down the Asherim, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar at Bethel, the high place, erected by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, that altar with the high place he pulled down and burned, reducing it to dust. He also burned the Asherah. And as Joshua turned, he saw the tombs there on the mount. And he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it, according to the word of the Lord that the man of God proclaimed who had predicted these things. Then he said, "What is that monument that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and predicted these things that you have done against the altar at Bethel." And he said, "Let him be. Let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone, and the bones of the prophet who came out of Samaria. And Joshua removed all the shrines also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord to anger. He did to them according to all that he had done at Bethel. And he sacrificed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem.
Okay, and that's the end, right? Mm-hmm. They stopped doing idols after that, right? Right. It's the end. I can just get up and just go, we done, right? But apparently something else happened, right? So we're going to go to 2 Kings. That should have been it, right? 2 Kings. Nope, that's not right. Okay, so now we're here, right? We're here, and we see that this is all what Josiah did. But of course, we know that Josiah passed away, right? Mm-hmm. And so you know that something else happened, right? Mm-hmm. Something else had to happen, right? Mm-hmm. What you think happened after he died?
The next king undid everything.
The next king undid everything. So we would go to 2 Kings 23 and 31. We make sure it's not 23 and 31. Hold on. Yeah, 2 Kings 23 and 31. Okay. And we're going to, let's see. We're gonna do 30 verse 31. We'll see. We'll let you know who's gonna be the king. And 32. Sterling, can you read that for me?
Yes. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done.
Keep on reading.
And Pharaoh Necho put him in the bonds at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and laid on his, on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Joshua, king, in the place of Joshua, his father, and changed his name to Jehoiakim.
And so we know that, we keep reading, we know that they everything that Joahaz has done, they and did and rebuilt and went back to business as usual. So my daddy is dead, I'm going to go back and do what I want to do, right? So now we are where we should be in Jeremiah, and now we understand why Jeremiah is so grieved. Let's go to Jeremiah 8. And Steve, read 18 through 19.
I would conform my, or I will comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols?
So he's like, why? We was doing good. Yeah, and went back to, I mean, all this killing that Josiah did and all this, y'all went back to do what y'all feel like was right in y'all's sight, right? Deuteronomy 32 and 24 says, y'all don't have to go there. If you want to, you can, but give me 1 second. Deuteronomy 32 and 24 says that they shall be wasted with hunger and devoured by a plague, a poisonous pestilence, and I will send the teeth of the beast against them with venom of things that crawl into the dust. So they're going, you can see how graphic that is, and you can see how Jeremiah knows the word, right? So he knows that this, what's going to happen to them is not going to be pretty, because they continue to do what they want to do, right? So we're going to go to Jeremiah 10. Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord. Learn not the ways of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. Does that sound familiar?
Christmas.
Well, it's not only Christmas. We just read that at the beginning of this lesson in Isaiah. Is that the same thing? But it is the same description as the, it's just what happens with the Christmas tree. And they decorate it with silver and gold, and they fashion it with a hammer and nails so that it cannot move. It's the same thing in Isaiah. They are building something that they have to build to worship. Their idols are like scarecrows in the cucumber field, and they cannot speak. I know Sister Alicia's version says palm trees, right? And they are carried, for they cannot walk. But do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. They can't do anything.
Amen.
The scarecrow is just there. I made a joke. That's not Michael Jackson talking about we can't win. None of that. It's just there. It's immovable. It cannot speak. You can't be afraid of an inanimate object. We talked about in class how they have those Buddhas and they put all their food around it for it to rot. He ain't gonna eat the food. There was a scene, not a scene, but it's a story in the Bible where they were putting the food out for the idols, and the people was coming to get the food to act like somebody was eating it. Idols don't eat nothing. Idols can't produce fruit. God produced seed. And he puts the seed in the ground. He provides the water. He does all the work. All you got to do is partake of it, right? He speaks to you. These idols ain't speaking to them. Now maybe the mental health issues of the people who worship in these idols might be speaking for them. It might be like my daughter who talks for her dolls and stuff, but she's a child, right? They might be hearing things. That's on them, but they're not doing anything. They cannot physically help you. They can't speak life into you. They can't do anything. There's nothing to be afraid. Oh, this idol's going to do whatever. And we have repeated stories and facts in the Bible how the idols cannot do anything. They're just something that you decided you want to worship.
Right.
Because you need something to do. Because
right.
You need to say, I did this. So actually, an idol is something to say so you can take credit for something that you had nothing to do with. Other than the physical labor of what you did. What he did, he burned, he cooked on it, he did all that stuff with it, right? God bless you.
Right?
There is none like you, O Lord. So we did verses 1 through 5, talked about what the idols couldn't do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now verse 6 through 10 is going to talk about what God can do. Let's see what he can do. You are great and your name is great in might. Who would you not fear, O King of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations and all in their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish, and the instruction of the idol is but wood. How can wood give you instructions? This paper is just paper unless I read it, right? God breathes life to me to interpret it, right? But the paper alone is just paper. It's just on, it's inanimate, right? Right? And it says, beaten silver into brought from tarnish and from gold from upaz. They are the work of the craftsman and of the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple, and they're all the work of the skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. And his wrath and earthquakes and the nations cannot endure his indignation. So he's saying, let's see the characteristics. We have the idol has the characteristics of being immobile. Cannot speak, no life, no power, can't help you, can't change you. You can't do any type of effort. Where we got God has strength, wisdom, he's unique, he's unequal, he's mobile, he has wisdom, he creates life, right, and is life. He has all power.
Yeah.
Now stop me when I lie, okay? He can change you. Yeah. He put all the effort in, and all you have to do is obey.
Amen.
I didn't have to do anything. He created it. He created heaven and earth on his own. He didn't need my help.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need my help to create the colors of violet and purple. He created that already in nature, right? He didn't need my help. But I need his help, right?
Amen.
And so therefore they talk these idols that they are creating. When they had they had God. They had a covenant with God, and all they had to do was honor it. Now let's go back. This when you started said, it says they didn't even pay attention at 10:1. They didn't learn from the other nations. They didn't learn from their sisters and brothers that have been despondent. Remember, they got in trouble and they already scattered among the people, which was already prophesied that that's exactly what he was going to do in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that he was going to scatter them for the disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
So he scattered them. Oh, they scattered him. So then you know what? I ain't going to be like my sister. Let me do what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
But we have an uncircumcised heart, so we're going to do what we want to do. So we're going to say that car that cost a whole bunch of money, that's going to be, we're going to keep that clean. We're going to keep the maintenance on it. But our heart is going to be just filthy. That's what we're going to do. So now that we know what idols are and we understand that we're not isolating Bible study as to just one book we're reading at this time, we're starting from all the way from Joshua all the way now into Jeremiah, seeing that the Israelites just start worshiping. Even in Moses' time, Moses go up there for a couple of minutes. Now I ain't got nothing to do. So now I got to create a golden calf. I got to do something. I can't just sit and be quiet and just wait. I got to do something because I can't, I'm busy. I got to keep my hands moving. My mind got to move, because if not, I'm going to go crazy because I can't depend on God, right? That's what we're going to do. So we started from Joshua, and Joshua said, hey, now look, y'all going to mess up. No, I'm not going to mess up. I swear. On the fifth day, at the 11th hour, we're going to do good. And then as soon as he gone, we get to Judges, and they doing all what they feel like doing. And we keep on. He keeps sending messengers. He keep doing this. He keep doing that. And then we get to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah like, man, I'm crying for y'all because, number one, I don't want us to do this. I ain't asked for this. Isaiah and I already told y'all what was going to happen. Isaiah got killed because y'all don't like what people saying. So Jeremiah out here by himself because nobody is listening. They got Deuteronomy now, so you can't say that you ain't got the word because Josiah ain't found the word, so the word ain't lost. Y'all know what y'all supposed to do. Y'all already seen your sister and brothers gone, but no, you want to do whatever. So now I'm asking you to check your own heart. What's in your heart that's an idol?
Okay.
What do you give power to that has no power? Mm-hmm. What are you creating that prevents you from connecting with the Creator? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? We're talking about Israel, but Israel is us because we do the same thing. We put things, places, and people in front of God. What is more important than God? What idol have we created? Is it our pastor? Is it the cross? Is it the rituals that we do? What idols do we give power to? What thoughts do we give power to? Our thoughts can be our idols. We can be fixated so much on one thing that it keeps us from doing what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
What is in your heart? Is your heart uncircumcised? Are you the chosen one? Have you asked God to redeem you, but you still need some redeeming? Do you need to say that my heart is still defiled? Do I care that I'm worshiping a thing or a person or a car or a child or a husband instead of worshiping God? Is this goal my idol? Not saying you can't have goals. But if your goal is more prominent than what God is in your heart, then you need to fix that. And that's not, I'm not asking you. I'm asking God to check me too. What is happening is preventing you from connecting with God. What is it? What is it keeping you up at night? What is plaguing your mind? What is the heart change that you need as God to change it? Because if it's you changing it, you become that idol. You can't change your heart. God can change your heart. But you got to ask God to give you to say, hey, God, help me. I need a heart change. I need to be obedient. I can't fasten this. I can't put this together. I can't make this right. I can't fix it. I am not Superwoman. I am not that person that can put everything together. I can't construct it to make it right. Only you can do that.
Amen.
So when we're in Jeremiah and Jeremiah is crying and saying, y'all did all of this and I'm trying to get y'all to understand that this wrath is coming, can we please just say, let's just turn away. Let's turn back to God. Let's do a 180 and just get there. Not a 360, because that means we're back to the evil. And we're going to, I need you to help me. I'm crying. I'm weeping because I know that we could do better. Right?
Yes.
So that is where we went all through these scriptures, and we ain't got there. If anybody recognized that 1 Kings and 2 Kings and Chronicles go along with Jeremiah, they are companion books because these are factual things that happen. So now you see that this is not an isolated book. You see what's going on during this time. This is actual events happening while Jeremiah's in the thick of these, right? But what Jeremiah said was no different than what Isaiah said, and they still didn't listen. And then you can see that the concept of what is an idol continues because we constantly want to make ourselves many gods. We constantly want to be Zeus and Hercules and all these other people. Let's just be honest. We want to create our own idol so we can say, look at me. Look what I have done.
Mm-hmm.
and not give God credit for what he has done. Because he made us. So how can we worship something that we didn't even make? He made us. How you worship yourself? How you worship somebody else that can hurt you, that cannot help you? How do you give resources to an inanimate object to rot when God gave it for us to partake? It says, what profit of what?
A man
to gain the whole world but lose a soul. So if you are profiting from worshiping an idol, you are just basically losing your soul. And you're wasting your time.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come right now, God. We just thank you, God. We thank you for this time, God. We ask you to check our heart, God. We ask you to give us the wherewithal to give our hearts and our minds to you.
Yes,
Lord. We ask you to remove any obstacles that is creating a wrath or a rift between you and us for us to not connect with you the way we need to, God. God, let us feast on this word, God. Let us partake and digest this. And we just thank you, God, for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.